So let me first thank the organizer of this meeting for inviting me to present our work. So we are a small team in Grenoble, the Nanoscopic Systems, with we are two permanents. Maybe if I take the That's okay. We are two, and some PhD students. So Romain Giraud is here today. He is my PhD student, and these are the last PhD students who have been involved in those studies of mesoscopic magnetism. So, as you know, the mesoscopic magnetism is a magnetism of systems at scales, at sizes, which are not too large, which are small enough to be quantum, and large enough to present some crossover to transition to the classical state when we tune, for example, we change the magnetic field or the temperature. So we started with complex systems, block walls in microscopic systems, in bulk systems, and then nanoparticles. I will show rapidly some results on these nanoparticles, and then I will switch on the magnetic molecules, which are smaller. And I will show that if you take rare earth ions, just atomic impurities, that they also show some feature of mesoscopic magnetism. And this is simply because all the systems have energy barriers, which prevents the reversal of the magnetic moment. And in a small particle, in a nanoparticle, which contains, say, 1,000 spins, the energy barrier is huge because the energy barrier is proportional to the square of the magnetic moment. Then, even if the coupling terms between the spin up and the spin down, the transverse term, are large, so the tunnel splitting are very small due to the huge barrier. And therefore, these systems behave almost classical because any kind of fluctuation could be the same order as the tunnel splitting. With magnetic molecules with a spin S equal 10, this is what we're including, the tunnel splitting are still small. But large enough to observe clearly the quantum tuning of a system, of a magnetic system, of a large spin, and to study this tunneling, how this tunneling behaves in the different types of environments, the phonons and the spins and so on. And finally, the rare earth, which are just atoms, they also show some features of mesoscopic physics. Because although the spin is not very large, it's just atomic spins, ionic spins, due to the effect of the large, very large crystal field effects, the anisotropy barrier is very large, and then sufficient to have tunneling gaps which are not too large, and therefore to see, for example, some quantum relaxation at time scales, which of the time of the second or minute and so on. Here is a small particle of a few nanometers of cobalt, which is embedded in a carbon matrix. You can see the cobalt atoms, and as we know, the exchange interactions in cobalt are huge, and therefore all the magnetic moments add to give a super moment, which is the magnetic moment of the particle, which is a microscopic order parameter, and the barrier of such a particle to reverse the spin from up to down is huge, several thousand Kelvin. So it is impossible to reverse the field in zero field. This is a type of particles that are very small. This is a few nanometer. This type of particle will be used for magnetic recording, for very high density magnetic recording. So if you want to reverse the magnetic moment of such a particle, we have to apply a magnetic field. And then this reduces the barrier. to a value which is small enough to allow either the reversal by thermal activation or by tunneling through the barrier. So for particles of such size, we have, I will show you very rapidly some experiments that we did using the microsquid technique. So this is a technique that we have developed in Grenoble. We have applied in Grenoble this technique to the, for the measurement of magnetic particles, nanoparticles. This is a particle of a few microns. This was 7 years ago. This is for a particle of 100 nanometers. This is a wire. And these are the type of particles that I have shown, 5 nanometers, 3 nanometers. And for the molecular systems, this is the type of... So in all the scale, the dimension scale, this is the atomic scale. The molecular systems are here for the moment. The chemists try to increase the size to get to this region. And for the small particles, which are made by completely different methods, so we go from this to this to reach this region, which is the region in which we can really observe quantum properties in systems which are not too small, which could be used to drive different system for spintronics in the future. So if you apply a magnetic field in a small wire, as it is shown here, this is the arm of the microsquid. So these are the dimensions of the particle. It is possible to measure, when we apply the field in any direction, the switching field, the switching magnetic field of the particle. And this asteroid was predicted 50 years ago by Stoner and Wolfhard. And it has been measured here in 2D and here in three dimensions. These are for the classical properties. So now if you go at very low temperatures, we have observed a crossover from thermal which to something which looks like to quantum behavior. And the crossover temperature is given here as a function of the orientation of the magnetic field. And the fit to the theory of Jean Schnosky, who is here, was very good. So unfortunately, it was not possible to get data points in this region. Here we have the histogram, the distributions of the switching field, the switching field histograms, and we see that at very low temperature, the size, the width becomes independent of temperature, and it's very different from what it would be expected in the case of a classical system. So the size of the histogram was calculated for a magnetic system with Leon, who will be here. Okay, so, but these systems, these particles, although we have some indication of tunneling, we could not really prove that this is really a tunneling because we cannot switch with the magnetic field from a region from some tunneling and non-tunneling behavior. In other words, there is no quantific quantization of the magnetic moment. The quantization is a continuum, in fact, because the particles are too large. So we are trying to still to reduce the size of those particles to see the quantization of the macroscopic moment of the particle and then the tunneling, but this is not yet done. This was much easier with molecules, with magnetic molecules. So these are the three types of molecules that we have studied till now. I will just describe the first one, manganese 12. This is a molecule where we have 12 manganese, 8 manganese with a spin s equal 2, and 4 manganese with a spin 3 half. They are anti-parallel, so the difference is 16 minus 6 is 10. The total spin of the molecule is 10. So in fact, there are about 2,000 atoms which are in between and around these magnetic ions. And these molecules form a crystal, and they are far enough from each other so that they do not interact by exchange interactions, and there are only weak dipolar interactions. So if we measure the magnetization of such a system, we have an hysteresis loop, which is given here, with steps. And on a plateau, the magnetization is almost constant. That means that the relaxation time of the system is much longer than the measuring time scale, so nothing happened. But on the step here, the magnetization evolves very rapidly, and this shows that the relaxation time of the system is shorter, or at least of the order of the measuring time scale. And effectively, if we measure the relaxation as a function of the field, we have minima, very pronounced minima, at the fields where we have the steps. And this shows that there is a strong enhancement of the relaxation at this particular values of the magnetic field. So this system has been studied by three groups, and also by the group of Miriam Sarafik, who is here. So this is at temperatures above 1.5 Kelvin. At lower temperatures, these hysteresis loops have the same shape, and we see very clearly that at low enough temperature below 0.5 Kelvin, the hysteresis loops are independent of temperature, showing the tunneling from the ground state in an applied field. In order to explain very simply what is observed there, we can give the Hamiltonian, which contains two terms, H1, which is the diagonal terms, and H2, which contains the transverse terms. So this is the Zeeman term. This is the first anisotropy term. This first anisotropy term is, as you see, a second order, it's uniaxial term. That means that the spin S equal 10 is splitted in these doublets, plus minus 10, plus minus 9, up to 0, that's 21 states. Then if you apply a magnetic field, there is a Zeeman splitting, which is here. And then if the field increases, the same go on the ground state here, and at each crossing there is a possibility of tunneling, because at each crossing the levels for the spin up and the spin down are in coincidence. So between the crossing, the level of spin up or spin down are no longer in coincidence, and then it is impossible to have tunneling. So at the crossing they are in coincidence, and then it is possible to have a tunneling if this crossing in fact are anti-crossing, if there is a tunneling gap, and the tunneling gap is given by the transverse anisotropy terms. Typically it is the ratio from the transverse to the longitudinal terms, magnetic field or anisotropy coefficients, or crystal field coefficients, as the power of the spin, the difference of the spin from the spin up and spin down. And this term is in general small, the exponent large, especially if you are in the ground state, and the tunneling gap here is, as we will see, very small on the ground state. And this is why these systems are very sensitive to the environment. I mean, this is what we call mesoscopic physics. So now this field at which we observe the crossing are the field where we have the jumps in the magnetization, and in this game they are all aligned. All the crossing for the different values of M are aligned, and this is because we have in this game only this second order anisotropy term. But if you add the fourth order anisotropy term and SZ to the four, which are not negligible, we have to do that, so then this crossing will no longer be aligned, they will be like that. And therefore, if we observe the tunneling on this level, if we increase the temperature slightly, we'll observe the tunneling at this level at this field, which is slightly tilted. And this is what we observe here. This is a picture with the fields where the tunneling effects are observed as a function of temperature. And if you take any one, this is the tunneling of the ground state, the tunneling of the first excited state, and the second excited state, till up to the tunneling of the top of the barrier. So this is the line which separates the region where we have some hysteresis to the paramagnetic region, super paramagnetic region, because it is a super spin. This is a super paramagnetic region of thermal origin and then of quantum origin, because the quantum fluctuation become large here. And this dashed line is to distinguish between the tunneling on the ground state and the tunneling on excited states. So the crossover temperature is going from about 1 Kelvin to 2 Kelvin in zero field. So, as we said before, the tunneling is possible only if you have an anti-crossing. This is a picture which was given by Landau and Zener a long time ago, not for magnetic system, but this, you know, this is a very general mechanism. And if we have the state minus m and m minus n, or in zero field will be minus m and plus m. If we have the crossing here, the transverse term give a splitting delta, and this splitting delta, we have determined the splitting in zero field in manganese 12 or iron 8. It is of the order of 10 minus 8 Kelvin, which is extremely small. And therefore, any fluctuation of the system will be much larger than that. But even so, if you observe the tunneling, because the magnetic field sweeps from the left to the right, so the system will go like that and will follow this curve. And then the spin with the plus S, which is the slope, will be from plus S, will be going from plus S plus M to minus M. And this is the tunneling that we observe here. If the field is going slow enough in comparison to the fluctuation of the two-level systems, otherwise, when the level will cross, we can say that if they cross too fast, the system will not have the time to tunneling, and then the system will stay with the same speed. So there is a probability of tunneling for this single spin, which is given by this expression, where delta is the splitting and dhdt is the sweeping field velocity. So now this is for a molecule, an isolated molecule in a magnetic field, which is varying in time. In systems, there are a lot of internal magnetic fields which fluctuate. For example, the nuclear spin fluctuates very rapidly, and they give very small fields of the order of dependent systems. Could be between 0.1 Gauss to 10 Gauss. This depends on the nuclear spin. And this spin fluctuates at the frequency, which is the hyperfine frequency, and these fields, if this is 10 minus 8, or even 10 minus 7, 10 minus 5, if you apply a transverse magnetic field, these fields, oscillating field, will be much, much larger than the gap, and then the system will have a width. The tunneling width will be not delta, which is this the same order, but it will be given by the strength of the fluctuating field, internal fluctuating field. for example, named essentially the nuclear fields, the magnetic field due to nuclear spin. Also, another point, I've been talking now just from the fluctuating fields of the environment, but there are also static fields. This is the field of the crossing, zero field for the molecule, but I said before that there are weak dipolar interactions between the different molecules. So that means that each molecule fills the dipolar fields of all the other molecules, and this field is not the same when you go from one molecule to the other molecule. So that means that this point is distributed, there is a distribution of internal fields. Which is given simply by the distribution of dipolar fields. And here is an isotropy barrier, which is a parabola, GSZ square. We have LZ in apsis. This is the distribution of internal fields. And then when the system tunnel, the spin which will with tunnel are the spin which are with the levels are in coincidence, so there are only the spins which are in the middle of the distribution which will have the spin up and the spin down at the same energy. We can say that dipolar field will be almost zero at this point. And then it will be possible to tunnel, and there will be a transfer of the spin from the spin up to the spin down, and this will leave with a hole in the spin energy distribution. So it is clear that if we wait a long time, if the system can equilibrate with the bath, this hole will fill and the distribution will take again the Lorentzian distribution at equilibrium. But if the experiments are done fast enough, it is in principle possible to observe this hole. I will show some results in a minute, but what we can say also is that when we have a hole like that, the time evolution of the system will be completely different from the time evolution without this hole, and in this case it is expected to have a relaxation which is in a square root of the time, and this has been observed in different systems. However, if the system equilibrates with the bath, the distribution becomes again Lorentzian, the hole is filled, and then we get an exponential relaxation. And this was observed. So now for the hole, here are some results on iron 12. This is the top of the dipolar field distributions, and then in zero energy we see that there is a hole, and this hole increases as a function of the time at a short time scales, because there is a transfer of spin from spin up and to spin down by tunneling. But if you wait long enough, it will finally collapse. Regarding the nuclear spin, the evaluations of the quantum relaxation as a function of the gap, you can evaluate roughly, but this is enough because the time scale of the quantum relaxation can change by many order of magnitude. So if you want to calculate, to evaluate this quantum relaxation, we need to have a width in the tunneling, a tunneling window, which is not a delta, but which is really very close to the fluctuating field, internal fluctuating field coming from the nuclear spin. So it is, so then the effect of the nuclear spin is also observed on a more direct way here, where we have here delta effective, which is proportional to the relaxation, and we see that the relaxation becomes much faster when the ion is substituted, is enriched in ion 57. Then we introduce nuclear spins, and then the fluctuation due to the nuclear spin will be much more important, because in a standard ion 8, the fluctuation of nuclear spins come only from essentially from the hydrogen, the nitrogen, and these atoms which are in the molecule and surround the iron atoms. But if we put some 57 ion, so the field, fluctuating field, acting on the electronic spin, which will tunnel, will be larger, and therefore this increases the tunneling gap and also the relaxation. In fact, this increases the relaxation, and then we can deduce the tunneling gap from that. Okay, so now I will say a few words on the effect of a transverse magnetic field. These are calculations for manganese 12. This is a transverse magnetic field. This is the energy. And we see that this is without a longitudinal field, so only a transverse field. And we see that the energy shows some minima here. And this is explained in a semi-classical way by the Berry phase. This is because when we want to reverse the spin from up to down, in the classical way, it turns either on this turn or on sense, or on this sense, clockwise or anti-clockwise. But in the quantum regime, they turn at the same time on the both sense, and therefore there are interference between the two motions. It is very similar to the case of a loop with an electron, with the two waves, exponential IKR and exponential minus IKR, the same, and in all systems, in fact, for the supercurrent also. And then when these two motions are in phase opposition, so then the tunneling gap is going to zero. So we tried to observe these minima on the tunneling gap in manganese 12, but it has not been possible. It does not work. This is rather difficult because of the symmetry, which is tetragonal. But this was possible. It was possible to do that on, in iron 8 by my colleague here. And we see the same types of oscillations which are predicted by the calculation and the oscillations which are observed here. And as it is well known in the Berry phase, if you change the orientation of the magnetic field very slightly, so then the field will itself dephase the two motions, and then the oscillation disappears. Okay, so this is concerning the molecules like manganese 12 or iron 8 with a large spin. Let's say two words on other types of molecules with low spins. So this is a vanadium 15 systems. So these are the difference between the large spin and the low spin molecules. So the essential difference is that the large spin molecules are with the order parameter which is ferromagnetic, and the low spin molecules are almost anti-ferromagnetic in this system because there are 15 spin 1 half, and the total spin is 1 half. So this is a molecule. And the resultant spin of this molecule is a spin 1 half. So the Hilbert space dimension of this molecule, as for the other molecule, is huge. Here it is 2 to the 15. So it is, in some sense, as if you had a macroscopic or mesoscopic spin 1 half. So the magnetization curves of this system are given here. In green, we have a magnetization curve which is almost at equilibrium if the system, if it were measured even slower, then we will not see hysteresis at all. And then if we increase the sweeping field velocity, we see that the slope here is larger than at equilibrium. This means that the system is cooler. In fact, it is not at equilibrium, it is cooler. And then the magnetization curve crosses the equilibrium curve, and then it becomes warmer. So this typical hysteresis loop is not difficult to explain. In fact, it can be explained in terms of the Landau-Zener model. In fact, with a model which has been developed by Abragam for spin 1/2. If you go here and the spin, if the field sweeps on that direction, so if the sweeping field is low enough, we will have enough time to populate the level here, and then the two levels will be populated at equilibrium, the Boltzmann distribution, and then we have the equilibrium curve. But if the field is going very fast, so the system has not the time to equilibrate there, because there are not enough phonons which in the system, and therefore there is a hole in the phonon distribution. The system is cooler than at equilibrium. And then when it goes here, here there is a superposition of states. When it goes here, since the gap here increases very fast, so at some point the system will have too much spins here, and then they will come back very fast, because the equilibrium temperature is given by the exponential of the gap divided by kT. So now if we change the coupling to the bath, we can see that all the experiments that I gave before were with a very good coupling to the bath. But if we make the coupling very bad, so we can see that for two different temperatures, this hysteresis loop decreases. And then if the coupling is even worse, we have here, at low temperature and a system which is decoupled from the bath, there is no hysteresis at all. And this is because the system is, the magnetization curve is given only by the evolution of the system on the ground state. Yeah, there is no way to populate the level here. So this is a kind of adiabatic Zener system. So now I will finish with the last part. How much time? Five minutes? Three minutes, OK. In this part, we studied this system with holmium diluted in an insulating matrix. So why we studied this system? Because this is because, as we have shown before, the role of nuclear spins is very important in giving a level broadening. And if the fluctuations are even larger than the gap, this is much more than a level broadening. Everything will be dominated by this. But the effect of the nuclear spin was incoherent, because the hyperfine interaction with a 3D system like manganese is not so large. But with rare earth, the hyperfine interaction is huge, and therefore the electronic spin and the nuclear spin are strongly coupled. So, and we wanted to see what will happen with such a system. So here is the energy barrier that we had in manganese 12, for example, with a state plus 10, minus 10, plus 9, minus 9, and so on, separated by the crystal field, the anisotropy energy barrier. And in holmium, in this system, this is the energy level, plotted also as a function of JZ. And we see that we have more or less the same parabolic shapes, but there is a big difference in this system. The transverse terms are rather important, and therefore the tunneling gap are sometimes very important. For example, these two levels come from this anti-crossing here with a large delta, and this gives a shortcut on the barrier just near the bottom of the barrier. That means that the barrier for the system is given by the top of the barrier is given by this level. And here below, we have only two levels, which are, in fact, a doublet. Okay? And this doublet is an Ising doublet, and in principle, it is not possible to observe tunneling on this doublet because it is an Ising doublet. So it is not not degenerated. So if you do the experiment, we see, in fact, an hysteresis loop, which looks like to what we had in manganese 12 with many, many steps. And this hysteresis loop is really typical of a quantum system. And if you compare it to the case, to the level structure now with the nuclear spin, if you add the nuclear spin, the two doublets, the two ground state doublets, become splitted. All these levels, all these lines going down, are associated with the spin 1/2 of the doublet, and all the lines going up are associated with the spin -1/2 of the doublet, and they are degenerated by the hyperfine coupling. So when the field sweeps, we have many anti-crossing. Some are very small that we cannot see them, and this anti-crossing give rise to tunneling, and it gives us to the tunneling that we had observed, give exactly to this curve which is observed here, and the agreement is quantitative. It's a very good agreement. This is the effect of a transverse field. We have the transition here because the system is thermally activated, and then we have the tunneling on this one. This is this level. Here the tunneling gap is very small, and then this is why the effect of the transverse field is huge, while here the tunneling gap is large, and then the effect of the transverse field is not important unless the transverse field becomes larger than the gap, which is not the case here. If now I have almost finished, yes. If now we go very fast, the system is no longer at equilibrium, and we see, besides the points here, where n is integer, this is the points which correspond to the crossing that I have shown just before. In between, we have new jumps which occur, which are not due to the tunneling, because there is no crossing here. And these jumps, we think that these jumps come from the spin relaxation, because if you are here, if we apply a field which is just in between the crossing, the level separation is the same, and then it is possible to have transitions with simultaneously to the higher and lower energy between two spins which are coupled by dipolar interactions. And so this explains rather well this new step that we have observed. This is called usually the cross spin relaxation, and there are no much evidence on that. Okay, now I give the conclusion. So we can say that the mesoscopic physics, in which we study the quantum properties, the effect of the environment on the quantum properties, can be extended to single atoms. Then there's the observation or relaxation on rare earth ions. And the quantum tunneling in this system is made possible by the coupling of the electronic spin to the nuclear spin. There is a frequency doubling due to the cross relaxation, which has to be studied more. And maybe there are other explanations, but the cross relaxation is something which might be important in many systems. And this is a more general conclusion. So this is already said. So now we would like to study the role of free carriers on the tunneling. This was not studied at the moment by studying rare earth impurities in semiconductors, for example, by changing the number of carrier, and see how the carrier, the holes, will change the quantum behavior, quantum reversal. And so in the future, it will be certainly possible to couple this type of molecular or or spin to systems to do some molecular spin electronics, molecular spintronics. Thank you. Thank you. I've been too long.
The energy barrier,
D as Z squared.
It's proportional to the total
speed. It depends how you define D. So,
it depends how you define
okay.
You can see it immediately from the fact.
It's
proportional to the total anisotropy.
Yeah. I know. It is G as it were, but if you write KV in classical state, it's a question of definition. Okay.
My second comment is that there is a recent paper published last month in Europhysics Methods by Javier Martinez, Amona Arogi, and myself, that shows that somewhere below 100 millikelvin, iron A should order either ferromagnetically or to a spin glass state with energy very close to the ferromagnetic state. And your experiments on relaxation in iron A were done at lower temperature, actually at 20 or 50 millikelvin. So I believe that some of the relaxation features which you observe must be not due to nuclear spins or any other entities there in the environment, but rather due to the fact that you are relaxing in a ferromagnetic or in a spin glass stage. And for instance, that hole that you are digging in the relaxation may be due to the spin glass effect and not due to the effect of the in any case, I think that you should see some features of the order below 100 millikelvin.
I'm not sure because the onset of ferromagnetic order due to dipolar interactions is not obvious. It depends a lot on the symmetry, and so I know that if you take but if it were a real I don't want to say that it is not ferromagnetic, but we have no evidence of that. We have absolutely no evidence of that. We don't see any ordering temperature. There is no anomaly at this temperature. So, furthermore, the quantum behavior is very clear on the hysteresis loop, on the jumps at any temperature. And so if the order parameter were to be a macroscopic, I think this will change a lot the gaps, the tunneling gaps, because the tunneling gap is almost an exponential. It's a power law of the spin. So if you have some correlation at a size extended as a size xi, just before the ordering temperature, then. If xi increases, then this should decrease the gap, and this will give a classical phase transition. But we can talk later on that.
Are there any other questions or comments? I warn you that there's going to be more about Manganese 12 on Thursday. To be continued. If there are no comments at this time, I will call it. At 4 o'clock, this is the first conclusion.